God, we come to you and we thank you because you're good and you love us. You give us these moments that we could come together and as your family, open your word and read. As we do that this morning, God, I pray that your word would pierce our hearts, would draw us to you, make us know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you ever wanted to throw in the towel, like you're in the middle of something, you're not like a task, like a one thing, one time thing, like I just can't finish mowing the lawn today, but a life thing. You're in the middle of, I don't know, middle of a marriage or being single or with your children or a ministry, something God's given you to do, or there's a person that, you know, we've talked before about pouring into people and investing in people. So you started pouring into somebody and then you just, I don't know if I keep going with this. I don't know if I want to keep going with it. This is hard. This isn't what I signed up for. This is difficult. I know God has put me on this path and I know there's a promise and I should do this. And this is, I think this is something God wanted me to do, or at one time I did, but I don't think I can keep going with this. Have you ever felt that? It's difficult and you don't see, you know, progress. We never want to throw in the towel when things are good, when things are rocking and rolling and there's good stuff happening. But when you don't see any progress and it's the same amount of difficulty as it would be if there was progress, you say, I think I'm done with this. And don't want to say it out loud, but you feel that. I don't want to keep going with this. Then shortcuts come up, you know, the ways that you can get off track. You start thinking about how could I, and you start fantasizing about what would life be like if I didn't have to do this anymore, if I wasn't with this situation anymore, if I didn't have to keep doing the same thing, what would that be like? And you start thinking about ways that you could just jump off that path and jump on another path, and a shortcut presents itself, and it seems so attractive. That's what we're going to talk about today, obviously, because that's what I'm talking about. So that's what we're going to talk about. That's what our story is actually going to talk about today. When we're going to go back and look at the story of Abraham, continue a little bit more in the story of Abraham, and we're going to look at shortcuts, because Abraham faced a position in life where things looked impossible and a shortcut presented itself. So that's what we're going to look at today, because where we left the story last week, God had given Abraham a promise. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. And it appeared to be an impossible promise, because God said, I'm going to bless you. And the center of the blessing, everything revolved around, and this blessing God was going to give him, it was his descendants. Generations will come out of you. You're going to have a huge, nations will come out of you. Kings will come out of you. You're going to have a ton of people that will look back up the chain of ancestors and say, Father Abraham, he started it all. He's the one who kicked it off. And not only that, I'm going to bless everybody through you. The generations down the line, the whole world will be blessed because of you. That depended on one key thing, a child. He had to have a son in order to have, you know, descendants. You have to have at least one descendant in order for the world to be blessed through your generations. Generations from now, you got to kick it off with at least one child. Abraham didn't have any children. And he and his wife were at the age where they weren't going to have children. It wasn't going to happen. God promised it. It was the center of his promise to them. And he kept, as we saw last week, God kept coming back and promising the same thing over and over again. And the more that happened, each time it was more and more ridiculous looking to Abraham and to his wife, because it was more and more impossible for them to have this child. So God promised a child, and it didn't look like it was going to happen. But Abraham believed God. That's an important thing. Look at Genesis chapter 15. Look at the first few verses of that chapter. He believed God. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and there in my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And look, Abraham believed the Lord. And he, God, the Lord, counted it to him, to Abram, as righteousness. that he believed God, and then he stopped believing. His faith faltered a little bit. It became, as time went on, it became more and more difficult to believe. So you know, and you're in that place when you feel like, I know God wants me to do this. I know God's going to do great things if I just continue. But then after a while, it's kind of like, I'm not sure, not seeing it. Years went by. Abraham wasn't seeing it. He didn't have a child. It seemed absolutely impossible that God was going to do what he had promised that he was going to do. They were too old to have a kid. And so he looked for a shortcut, and he found a shortcut, because whenever we look for a shortcut, we'll find one. So flip over to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 16, and we'll look at the first two verses of that chapter. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant, and it may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. And so his son Ishmael was born through his concubine, through the affair that he had with his wife's servant. He didn't follow God's plan. He took a shortcut. He said, I know God said that I'm going to get here. This is what he has for me. This is where he's taking me. And there's no way that going down this path that I'm on is going to get me there. Can't do it. There is no way that I can get there from here. But there's this other way. There was a shortcut. It was another way. And this would work. And so what did he do? He listened to the voice of his wife, and he said, okay, I'm going to do that. That will get me there. Not that way, but this way will get me. And he disobeyed God. He didn't, you know, something jumped out at me when I was reading this week. He didn't talk to God. His whole story is marked by him talking to God. Abraham talked to God. God talked to Abraham. Abraham talked to God. He went to God with his doubts. And in this case, the shortcut presented itself. And who does he talk to? It's not God. I mean, he should have talked to his wife. Your spouses are supposed to communicate. That's not bad to talk to your spouse, right? But in this case, he talked to his wife instead of talking to God, and he disobeyed God, and then everything just, it went bad. He made a mess of things. This is a part of his life. I said last week when we talked about some part of his life that wasn't very flattering, this part of his life isn't flattering either, because not only does he have a child through with his wife's servant, and That's sinful and messy, but then after his wife's servant Hagar conceives, she, as you might expect, she kind of feels superior to her mistress, and so she starts looking down on her mistress, and so Sarai isn't happy with that, and she runs her off, and so she runs a pregnant woman off into the desert by herself, and she's about to die, and the angel of the Lord appears to her and says, go back, and so she does. And then later on, after, and this is getting ahead of ourselves, don't want to ruin the story for you for next week, but after Abraham has his child, you knew that was coming, right? Okay, after Abraham had his child, then his older son, Ishmael, the son he had with Hagar, he treats his son poorly, his other son poorly, Isaac, and so his wife Sarai again says, "Get rid of him. They gotta get that not gonna treat my son badly." And so Abraham runs off his the lady who had his first son and his son, they're gone, they're out of his life. That's it's horrible. No child support, nothing, no visitation, just they're gone. They've moved to a different country. It's a horrible, horrible way for that part of that story to end. And as easy as it would be for us to, you know, in church on Sunday, to just say, Abraham, that he messed it up, didn't he? And criticize him and say, obviously, I know how the story ends, so I know if he just would have followed God's plan, he would have gotten there from here. He didn't have to take a shortcut. Why didn't he just obey? Why didn't he just keep the faith? Why didn't he keep going? It would have been so easy. But be careful when we criticize Abraham, because we do the same thing. We do exactly the same thing that Abraham did. And we don't just do it once. I'm sure he did it more than once as well. But we do it over and over again throughout our lives. We continually, okay, so God puts us on a path. He puts us on in a stage of life. He puts us in a different, whether it's with children or a spouse or singleness or not having children, God puts us on a path. Sometimes he promises things like he did to Abraham, and he gives us a vision of this is, I think, where God is going to take us. I think this is what God would do through our lives. This is how God would have an impact throughout my life and in the future. Or maybe he gives us a task or a ministry, something to do, something to put our hands to and get our shoulders into and just go do something with our congregation, with our church. Or he puts people in our life, people that we're supposed to disciple, people we're supposed to study with and pray for and walk through good times and bad times with and lead them into the water and then all the way through the rest of their life as they obey everything, learn to obey everything that Jesus commanded, people that we fulfill the Great Commission with. He puts people in our lives. He puts us on different paths. He gives us things to do and responsibilities and jobs, and he guides our steps. And then it's difficult. No matter what path God has you on, it's hard. Whatever God puts in front of you, I made a list this morning because I just was thinking about this and I wanted to internalize it more for myself. So I made a list of different paths God has me on right now. None of them are easy. Nothing that God asks us to do is easy. Nothing that God puts before us is easy. Whatever position in life we're in, there's always difficulty. That's why if we let ourselves, we can complain about anything, because no matter if we're God's children, whatever path he's put us on, there's difficulties in it. And it's hard to keep going. It's hard to tamp down our pride and say, and not say, I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to put up with this. It's hard to do the difficult work day after day and continue. It's hard to continue with people and have patience and put up with stuff and not just say, that's it. I'm going to throw in the towel. And just like Abraham with us, there's always a shortcut. There's always a, you know what? I could get there from here if I go that way. It would be better for me if I go that way instead of continuing this way. God has me going down this way. I think this way would be maybe easier. Maybe it'd be a little less suffering. Maybe I wouldn't wake up every day and just dread the next week on Monday and then every day dread the next day. I would be happy again. Have you ever thought that? If I just go that way, I would be happy again. I would finally be wouldn't be so hard. And that's why, just like Abraham with us, the shortcut is always so attractive. It is like the most beautiful thing. Hey, have you ever been talking to somebody and they're trying to use the conversation with you to convince themselves that they should take that shortcut? And you know it's a shortcut. You know that they should continue down whatever path they're on, keep going down the thing that God has them. But they're trying to convince themselves, but they're doing it in the way of selling you on how awesome it would be just for them to go down this other path. If I could just get out of this marriage, if I could just cut that person out of my life, if I could just, I'm just done with that thing, if I could just switch this or change this or do this other thing, and they're telling you how great it would be, and you know, you smile and you, as you're talking, they're trying to convince themselves, right, that shortcut would be so much better because it's so attractive. I could get out of it. It's freedom. It's happiness. That's what the shortcut promises us. That's what it promised Abraham. After all these years of waiting, I'm going to get out of the whole thing of I don't know when and there's no way it's going to happen. I'll finally, we'll be happy. We'll have a child. Everything will work out. And so we take the shortcut just like Abraham did more often than we would like to admit. We take the shortcut. We put our own plan into place. We figure out our own way of doing it. And just like Abraham, we don't ask God. We don't talk to God. We don't, in that moment, we convince ourselves, this is the way I should go. Maybe it was God who said, this is what you should do. But now that I'm thinking of going this way, I'm not talking to God about that decision. I'm talking to other people like Abraham did. I'm listening to other people. I'm saying, don't you think? And I'm trying to convince them. And if everybody thinks that, if all the people I talk to, because I'm not going to talk to people who don't think I shouldn't do that, but if all the people I talk to, if they all think that I should do that, that'll help me. That'll justify it in my mind. But I wouldn't talk to God. I wouldn't say, what do you want me to do? I'm going to wait on the Lord and pray. And should I give up this ministry, or should I stop discipling this person, or should I make this radical change in my life? I'm not going to ask God that. There's danger signs, right? When we're about to take a shortcut, when we're about to jump off of the path God has us on. And it's when we don't talk to God. So when we make decisions and Have you talked to God? Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I pray. Have you asked God? Have you said, I know you had me on this path. I know you have me with this congregation. I know you have me doing this thing. I'm about to totally change. Do you want me to? I'll just wait until you either open the door wide or you slam it in my face. I want you to tell me what to do. We don't do that. That's a danger sign. We're about to take a shortcut. When we don't talk to people and ask people's advice, people we know will tell us the truth. People we know that probably tell us not to do that. I'd rather not hear those voices. That's a danger sign. When I find it in my prayers, I'm going to God and asking him to bless my plans, like telling God what I've decided to do, and would you please bless this? And there's never a hint of, what do you want me to do? It's just bless what I've already decided that I'm going to do. That's a danger sign. When we're going to leave something that God has asked us to do, we're about to jump off. That's a danger sign, because it should take a clear guidance from God to stop doing something he's asked us to do. When we'd be disobeying God by taking the shortcut. If the shortcut involves doing something that God has said, don't do that, that's a danger sign, obviously. We have to justify our disobedience. Well, Abraham, if you would have gone to Abraham, right? His servant, his wife's servant is pregnant, and you walk in, and oh, what? Who's the dad? It's me. You. And if you would have asked him, what's up with that? Why that doesn't seem to be what God, the plan God put out for you. And in fact, that seems to be, disobedient. What would he have said? It doesn't say in the Bible, but I'm guessing he would have said, I had to do it. I mean, God said that this was going to happen. And the only way for that to happen was for me to do this. And the shortcut was the only way. I had to do it. That's a huge danger sign when we say that. And so then we disobey God and we do what we think we should do. And it always ends up badly for us. Just like with Abraham. Every time we take a shortcut to get to where we want to be, to where we think God wants us to be, and we get off the path of what God has us on, it always turns out badly. We always end up with regrets. Can you think of some times, I'm sorry to do this. I know this is a downer. Sunday should be happy. But think with me, if you would. Can you think of some times in your life when you've made some decisions and you've been impatient, you haven't wanted to continue down a path, you've jumped off, you've taken a shortcut, and now looking back, and maybe enough time has gone by that you can look back and say, yeah, I should have continued. I might end up baptizing that guy if I would have just had more patience with him and just continued, or whatever it was. Things didn't turn out the way you would have wanted them to, the way they should have. Maybe this is an easier question. Have you seen somebody else do that? Because we can all see other people. It's easier to see somebody about to take a shortcut when it's not us. And then it didn't turn out well. And in the back of our mind, we're thinking, I knew that. I knew that wasn't going to turn out well. I knew it. If you just would have continued, it would have been so much better. Here's the big idea from this story. The shortcut always, always, always turns out poorly. The shortcut always turns out badly. When we take the short, when God has us on a path, when he's promised something to us, when he's given us a vision, when he's asked us to do something, when he's put a task before us, when he's put a person before us, when he's given us something to do, it always turns out poorly when we take the shortcut. We always are left with regret. It never turns out. It's always like Abraham. It turns out poorly. But in the story of Abraham, we find hope for ourselves, and we find hope and inspiration for ourselves when we're in that moment of, and maybe today you're in a moment and you have one foot on the shortcut already and you're about to jump off and you say, why didn't I just skip today? This would have been a good day to skip because I don't want to hear this. I know what I'm going to do and I know I probably shouldn't, and it is a shortcut, but you have all the justifications, and even right now in your mind you're going over the justifications of why this is not even a shortcut. It's the right way for you to go, but you know it is a shortcut, and it's not what God's asked you to do. And there's hope for us, because in the story of Abraham, As it continues, the story continues even after Ishmael, even after Isaac, and you know where it ends. It ends with Jesus, and he's the fulfillment of the blessing that God promised through him. And when God sent his son through Abraham's descendants to come and to be a blessing to the whole world, God sent him to do something incredibly difficult, something incredibly impossible, even more difficult than Abraham waiting for his son to be born as he, you know, as he approached death. God promised something huge, that through his son, he would bless the whole world. He would bring redemption and salvation into the world. But to do that, he would have to go to the cross. It's what we celebrate every week and what we're thankful for and we remember every week. Why? Because of how difficult it was, how much redemption was brought into our life because of that, but how difficult it was, the suffering that he went through, the tremendous physical agony, and I mean, separated from his father. It was inconceivable to think that a person would voluntarily do that. And Jesus had a shortcut put before him. He knew, as he was just moments away from being nailed to the cross, he knew, this doesn't have to turn out this way. We sing a song about it. Sometimes we sing all four verses and then we sing the chorus because the chorus is totally different from the verses, and it's rousing, right? It's 10,000 angels. Look at Mark chapter 14. Before we get to the 10,000 angels, Jesus is in agony. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. If you've ever been in agony on a path that God has you on and you say, I don't want to do this, I would give anything. Jesus was in that moment, even more so. Look at Mark chapter 14, verse 35. And going a little further, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane with three of his disciples. He fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. He said, please, 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 please don't let me. I don't want to do it. He wanted to take the shortcut. And then a few minutes later, people come to arrest him, and Peter pulls out his sword and cuts off the guy's ear. Think about that. That's, I always wonder, how do you cut somebody's ear off without cutting their shoulder off, unless you're trying to cut their head off, and they turn their, like the deer I shot in the middle of his fore. Anyway, never mind. Turned his head in. Wrong moment. Anyway, long time ago. Still proud of it, though. Jesus says, look in Matthew chapter 26. Blood squirting out of the guy's head. Jesus heals him. Matthew 26, verse 52. And Jesus said to him, put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? He said, there's a shortcut. I don't have to do this. I can jump off the path at any moment. I can take a different way. And my Father will send 10 legions of angels. It will all work out. But how then, verse 54, should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? He didn't take the shortcut. He goes to the cross. He voluntarily suffers. He fulfills the plan, his Father's plan. He obeys. He continues on to the end. He doesn't jump off in the middle of it and say, well, I did most of it. I mean, you ever said that? I've done most of it, so it's okay now. I can just jump off. It's put up with this for long enough. He doesn't take the shortcut. And as we know, every week we glory in this. It turned out incredibly well for us. Instead of everything getting ruined when you take the shortcut, when Jesus was faithful until the end, we have salvation. Humanity, everyone who gives themselves to Jesus, it becomes a child of God, is rescued from their sin and from their rebellion. It's incredible. He became the fulfillment of the promise that was given to Abraham so many years ago, that I will bless the whole world through you, because he didn't take the shortcut. He didn't jump off the path, and he did that. This is the hope for you and I when we're on our paths and it's like, I don't want to continue and there's this shortcut and it would be so much better and I will be so much happier if tomorrow I could just wake up and not even be part of this or this. Or he leaves us an example. He gives us hope. He gives us an example to be like him. To be like him, to not be like Abraham and take the shortcut and find our own way and mess everything up, but to be like Jesus and just step by step, just go through whatever God has asked us to do until we're done with it. He gives us motivation, because there's nothing more motivating to look at what Jesus did and say, if he went down that path and didn't take the shortcut, I can do that. I can do that too. And then we have a promise, because when we follow through that, he shows us what happens when we complete God's plans for us, when we're faithful until the end, when we're the person who God is able to say at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Look one more verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. This verse and others like it are fulfilled in us when we do what Jesus did and we don't take the shortcut and we continue with what God has asked us to do until we're done with it, until he says, "Okay, now you're done. You've gotten to the end." Now to him, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Other versions say imagine, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's what happens when we obey and we continue. God works greatly through us. He does much more than we could ever think, whatever we could imagine, whatever more than we could ask for. That's what Abraham actually ended up experiencing, right? When his son was born, it's like, "You can do more than I could even. I never imagined that this could happen, and you did it." Why? Because he can, and he does in us when we continue doing what he asks us to do, when we continue faithfully. If you're in a marriage and you say, "There's just no hope in it, there's no reason for me to be in this marriage," you can't imagine how much glory God can receive through you if you continue faithfully in our ministry and in our church. When we say, I think I'm done with this, there's a better one, there's a different one, I'm tired, no one's helping me, there's so much glory to God and the kingdom being brought to the earth that happens when we are faithful in the things that God has asked us to do. When we work hard at the different things God's given us to do in life, we reflect our Creator and he works through us. When we guide the same person and the same people, when we have studies and we pray for people and we invest in that one person, that other person, and the same people over and over and over again for months and years, God transforms their hearts. God works greatly through us when we are faithful and when we continue down the path that he's given us to do. So what should we do? We should stay on the path. And I know that's a very generic thing to say. You know what the paths are that God has for you. We should obey God. We should be faithful in what he's asked us to do. We shouldn't take the shortcut. And if you're hearing this morning and you say, "I'm not a Christian, I haven't made my decision to follow Jesus, so stay on the path." Well, here's the thing. When you're outside of Christ, and I wrote these words down, and I said, that seems harsh, but I think it's true, so just go with me on this. If you're outside of Christ, all of your life becomes a shortcut. You're trying to find your way, get what you think you deserve, but without being in submission to your Creator. All of life becomes a shortcut, but you can receive the obedience, you can receive what Christ's obedience bought for you, what's already yours, when you give yourself to Jesus, when you repent and are baptized, and you make him your Lord and Savior, and then you are on his path. And now your life is not a shortcut, but rather you're following your Lord and Savior, and he'll tell you what to do, and you'll follow him because he's the one who saved you, and he's the one who gets to tell you what to do. And in this community, when you say, I want that life of blessing, I want God to guide me, I want him to tell me what to do, and I'll just follow him. When you're ready to do that, tell someone. You can repent, and you can be baptized. If you are a Christian, do what I did today. Grab a notepad and just say, "What are the different paths that God has me on? What are the different things?" Not right now, just, you know, unless you want to. When you get home today, grab a notepad and just jot down all the different things and the different people, and these are the things and the people and the tasks and the ministry stuff, and you'll see, "Oh, this isn't really ministry related, but it's just my job, and there's this, and these are the different things. This is where I'm at in life and what God has given me to do, and the different paths that I'm on, and these are the different things." Okay. What are the ones that are really hard for you to continue with right now? What's the one that you're tempted to jump off of and find the shortcut? What's the one that you're even now thinking, I don't want that to be a path that God has me on. I don't want that to be a responsibility that I have from God. Maybe it's not even from God. Maybe I'm just made that part up. whatever it takes to convince me I can take the shortcut. What's you look over your list, what's the one that you're about to jump off of? What? And maybe for you, there's something that should be on your list that isn't, because you've taken a shortcut. You've jumped off a path and you're riding, you know that should be there. Well, maybe the application for you is not to stay on a path, but it's to return to a path, to jump off the shortcut and jump back to whatever God has already asked you to be doing. That's repentance. That's returning and doing what God has asked you to do. What area of your life is it really hard for you right now to continue to obey God and to be faithful? So this is where you have me, and I'm going to give you glory, and I'm going to help other people know you through this. What's the area that's just you can't stomach? Let's follow Jesus' example instead of Abraham's example in this case. Let's stay faithful and continue down the path. Why don't we stand? We'll sing together. We'll pray, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. You are faithful. And we ask, God, that you, through your Spirit, would make us be people who are faithful as well. People who continue to the end in our relationship with you in this life, but also in the different tasks that you've given us to do. And that we'd persevere, and that through that you would do incredibly more than all we could ask or imagine, according to your power, through your Spirit who is at work in us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.